Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. Welcome back to a brand new Christmas episode of Lock, Stock, and Two Joking Addicts. I'm your host, Romano.
And my name is Dean.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Christmas, bro.
This
episode will be coming out on Christmas Eve. Bonus episode to come out Christmas Eve.
We just thought, because Christmas can be a happy time, but it can also be a lonely time, sad time for a lot of people. So if we can come into your homes and comfort you,
yeah,
when you need us,
yeah, little tools, I suppose, for people new to recovery, or, you know, people in recovery that still struggle with Christmas. Because Christmas for me, even still after being 5 years in recovery, is still a bit challenging, like,
yeah,
you know, because anywhere you go, people are gargling.
Oh man,
people are on it. Do you know what I mean? It's Christmas.
It looks so enticing, like. It looks, it's false promise.
Yeah.
See everyone all walking, skipping down the street, and you're like, well,
yeah. Like every gaffe you go into, there's just gargle all over the place.
Yeah.
People stock up with, and come here, we're not trying to give out to people that drink. Like, we're not against people who drink.
Oh, no, by all means, we like,
go ahead, do what you want.
If you can have a drink and you can manage your life, well, fair fucking play to you, because we can't.
Yeah, we cannot. And for people, you know, what I think another one as well is around the Christmas time. Oh, sure, it's Christmas, you can have a few drinks.
Yeah.
And then what about when Christmas is over and everyone has to go back to work and I'm still fucking flat to the mat? Then what? Oh, sure, just stop.
You know? But it's still Christmas.
Some people don't get it. Then not that they don't get it. Well, some people, yeah, some people don't get it. And people are just undereducated.
Yeah. So I think what we should do in this episode is for us to talk fuck all about drinking drugs, yeah?
Yeah.
And just maybe bring awareness around how people can better equip themselves coming up to the Christmas period, because, again, people lose family members coming up to Christmas. It can be a lonely, sad time.
And it's all about money. People are stressing.
I got paid, fuck. I got paid on a Friday and I was gone on a Saturday. And I get paid monthly, so it's tough coming up to Christmas. And I can only imagine you've got people who are homeless, people that don't have family and stuff like that as well. So look, if we can come into your homes this Christmas and
spread a little positive,
a little bit of positivity, and just kind of, you know, you're not alone, that you can reach out, and, you know, our inboxes are always open.
And then you check our website as well. There's meetings from different fellowships, there's helplines. Our as you just said there, our inbox is always open, and it will be open on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, because even though the podcast will be done for Christmas.
For me, like, you're going to be on holiday, typical. Another one.
Yeah.
He's got shares in Ryanair at this stage. But over the Christmas, I'm going to make it my thing to...
This is your first Christmas with no drinking drugs.
Yeah. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling positive.
So we could talk about... That's what we'll talk about.
Yeah.
How are you setting yourself up for your first Christmas with no substances?
So I speak about this quite a lot, the awareness around people, places and things. I've got a really good support network now at the moment.
Yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome, and thank you for being there constantly.
Always.
So meetings, a lot of spirituality, going to Sambats. I'm going to make it my pledge to go out for lots of walks. So like what we've done there over the last couple of days, going for walks up Knocknarea and stuff like that, over the Christmas, because it is a lonely time when people rely on the pub and drink and drugs, etc. That I'm going to make it my call in this December to meet up with as many people as possible, go on walks, campfires.
Even if it's just for a chat.
Yeah, you know, just for a chat.
And I'll be still available as well. I'll be all over the socials.
They'll be all over the beach in Cyprus. Go way out.
On the socials.
Every time
we've gone away.
Yeah, you have, to be fair.
I think I asked you one holiday, will you look after the socials for me when I go away?
Oh,
and I was still on the socials.
Yeah. See, my fucking thing is, man, yeah.
No, I'm ripping the piss out of you. No. You know that. You don't need to explain yourself.
But I remember I said to you a couple of days ago, I was like, I want to get rid of fucking social media. I really want to get rid of it and just...
Because
it's so easy to get sucked into it.
Here's one for you. I'll jump in there, and I won't apologise for jumping in, because here's one for you.
Jump into the water on Ross Boyd.
Who wouldn't? You won't come to an ice bath with me.
Who? Yes, I will.
No, you won't. But we've all been asking
you what we do, so. Yeah. We'll shake on it now. We'll go for a dip in the morning.
We'll go for a dip in the morning, right? Yeah. But the day after, we're going to an ice bath.
So it's the same thing.
No.
That sea is a lot colder than any ice bath.
Is it, yeah? So that sea is going to be 4 degrees.
Is that fighting talk, is it?
Is that sea going to be 4 degrees? No, it's not.
We'll see.
It's going to be 10 or over. It's not going to be under 10 degrees. See?
I'm fucking freezing thinking about it. I love it.
Cold water therapy. That's another thing to be out doing over Christmas. Because that, the shock you get from that, like, yeah, getting in, oh, it's freezing. But the after effects and what it does to your brain for the rest of the day.
There was a study, once you take a line of coke, it gives you a...
You said we weren't going to talk about drugs.
It gives you a high for like a half an hour, yeah?
Yeah.
That cold water, the cold water exposure gives you a natural high for, I think it's 8 hours.
Mm.
So
I believe that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, it's fucking freezing. Yeah. But
once you do it, it's over and done with.
Yeah, it's the mental side of it.
Yeah, it's just about, but see, that's where I always look at things like that, you know, like after I do it, every time after I do it, even though I can just go and jump straight in, after I do it, it's like, I was able to do that, I was able to get by that mental block.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, because it's something that we say we're going to do it, we grow up, we get to the water, and it's like, oh shit, and everything, every inch of our bodies, and every part of our brain is like, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And we do it.
Yeah, it's fucking
fine. That's great.
Hey, so, like, obviously you're in recovery now, 5 years.
Mm.
Yeah.
Clean. In recovery, almost 6 years, I'd say.
Yeah.
Clean, just over 5 years. Yeah. 5 years, 2 months and 5 days.
Unreal. Unreal, man. I'm fresh in the door. Everything's a first for me at the moment.
Mm.
How have you coped with, you know, coming up to Christmas and stuff like that? For me, I would have drank from October up until January, non-stop.
Yeah. For me, it was getting out walking with the dog, man. Getting out into nature. And, you know, what I done, you know, this is going back now off Christmas, but just for a second. It came up to Paddy's Day when I was 2 years clean or 3 years clean. And I was like, oh, what the fuck, I need to do something. We were sitting around the gaff, the Irish music was on. I says, I'm going for a run. She looked at me. She says, yeah, I know. I says, I'm going for a run. Haven't ran in years. I ran 2.38k and was bollocks, but it was like, you know what, that's deadly. I'm going to go back out running. So then the Christmas after that, I was out running on Christmas Day. I went out for a run and I was thinking about the good things about Christmas. I was thinking about my kids. I was thinking about Christmas dinner, you know, and I was always playing the tape forward as well, you know. So I thought, right, let's say Christmas is when I wasn't in recovery, you know, or I'd be drinking Christmas Eve. Christmas morning, I'd be waking up in a heap, after an hour or two, if even, of sleep.
You know, I ruined every Christmas for the last 10 years. Yeah,
same as that.
Every Christmas.
Stepped over me kids. I remember a couple of Christmases ago, right, and I hate, you know, coming to terms with all this stuff, but I was so annoyed that, and this is sick, right, this is how bad addiction got for me, and how bad it twisted me. I got annoyed that I had to put my kids' toys together on Christmas Day. I got annoyed that I couldn't go out and have a joint. I got annoyed that a couple of the lads were already on the gargle. I got annoyed that I had to put the kids' toys together on Christmas morning. Imagine that, like. Imagine that creeping into your head without, like, being in addiction. You'd be like, it wouldn't. It wouldn't if you weren't an addict, like. And it killed me today because thinking back to that, like, even though I was there on Christmas, I wasn't present for a couple of them for a good few Christmases because I just wanted to be out with the lads. You know, I had me drink in the kitchen, a couple of bottles of shorts, and I had me trays out on the balcony, keeping them nice and cold. And I cared about that more than, like, the kids' toys, putting them together, like, you know, and that fucking killed me. So the last couple of years in recovery, it's like, yeah, I can't wait to get my kids down to Sligo so that we can play with the toys and we can talk about what they're doing and I can be fucking present. And New Year's, I have them every New Year's. we had the kids on New Year's and we do New Year's Eve and we bang the fucking pots like we all do in Dublin. Just don't do it down here. Because when I said we were going to, yeah, the lads are looking at me now. Like I have 10 heads in Dublin on New Year's Eve. We all went out into the block in O'Devany with our pots and pans and we were banging them like fuck at 12 when the bells were ringing. We rang our own bells in the flats. That's how I remember Christmas and New Year's. Yeah. So that's what I do now with the kids. Like, it's really nice. And to be fully present and be in the moment and seeing the kids' faces. And again, that's why I struggle on Christmas as well, because I don't have my kids on Christmas Day, you know, or Stephen's Day. And I would never dare ask the mother of my kids, could I have them? Because I was only saying this to a fella today on the phone. I see that as a reward to mothers. You know, mothers being there for their kids all year long. I see that as a reward to them. Seeing their happiness on Christmas morning and over the Christmas time. Seeing their kids happy and joyful and running around and playing and all the toys and they're happy and they're giddy. I see that as a reward to mothers. They've been working so hard all year long. You know, even the mother of my kids working so hard all year long, keeping them kids happy, keeping them kids fed, keeping them kids in school, giving them a nice warm bed at night. You know, and that's a big reward, I feel, that they get on Christmas. They get to see all their hard work they've done throughout the year. You know, so we would never even dare take that away from her. But, you know yourself, all over Instagram, all over Facebook, go out on the street over the Christmas and you see people playing with their kids. And I can't do that because they live in Sligo. And that's what I struggle with as well. But then I have to play the tape forward. And it's like, if I was living in Dublin, I could be with my kids. But if I was in Dublin, I'd be using drugs. So we wouldn't be with my kids.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that's how it is.
It's really important for you to remember that. And again, it comes back to the awareness of that because things can look greener on the other side.
Yeah.
And you can think to yourself, oh, things will be different. But for you to have the awareness, and just what you said there, man, is really, really inspiring. And I've never looked at it in that way before. You know, a lot of people through addiction will speak bad about ex-partners and stuff like that. And what you've just said there, man, is just, that tears me eyes and I was smiling and the pots and pans. And I think I'm going to do that this year with Rowan, man.
Oh, man, he'd love it. He'd love it. Think about it. Like, you can picture him now out in the garden when the bell.
He'd probably be asleep and stuff.
Here's the thing. You do it early. You do it at 8 o'clock. That's his New Year's.
Uh-huh.
That's what I do with my children.
Good anyway.
And we done it last year at 11 o'clock. No, 10 o'clock. No, it was 11. It was 11.
The watch ups
it
down.
Because the coach has asked me the other day, are we going to have a real New Year's this year?
Well, you've done it early, did you?
And I'm just like, what do you mean a real New Year's? Well, we'll look at the real time. See, he's getting older now. Do you know what I mean?
Switched on.
So what I'll do is, we'll tell him, yeah, me and you, we'll do the real one. He can have his can of Coke and he can bang his pots and I'll have me cigar. We done it early with the kids because Ellie Mae can't be up till 12.
Yeah.
She'll be wrecked the next day, you know, and I'm not one for putting my kids to bed really early or this or that, but I put them to bed at
reasonable hour.
You know, some kids can stay up late and be grand the next day.
Yeah.
My kids can't. Curtis doesn't get out of bed until 2-3 o'clock in the day.
Yeah, what do we get that from?
Not from me. Not from me. You know, Ellie Mae and Carson, they'd be up really early. They'd be up at 7 o'clock on the tablets or on their phones and watching the telly, having breakfast and all. Wide awake, full of beans. They get enough sleep. You know, so there's no point in me keeping them up an extra 2-3 hours. So we'll do New Year's.
That's brilliant, man. We'll do
New Year's at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'll be out banging pods at fucking 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Who is this lunatic?
Tell you, because that's something he'll remember. You know, it's something he'll remember. And that's why I think it was dumb with us. For grown-ups, it's in the pub.
Oh, like that. Like sardines. Yeah. Like sardines. I used to fucking hate going out on New Year's and Paddy's Day. But
don't go out on New Year's.
Every single cunt will be on the town.
Mm.
Everyone. And you'd be bumping into people that you
And not even spoke. That, like... It's a big build-up for
nothing.
Happy New Year! And then what?
You know what I used to hate about New Year's, right? My life has been a shambles for the last 10, 12 years.
Yep, mine too.
And I used to kid myself, life is going to be different in January. You're drinking from New Year's night the whole way through the first week of January, and you're like, for fuck's sake. About 3 or 4 days into January, and you've already fucked the air up. So I'm like, oh, so we'll go again next year.
Yeah.
And every single time I'd kid myself. Every single time.
Oh, but yeah. You know what?
Dry January, sure.
But you know what?
Fuck it anyway.
This year is going this year's so different.
Different.
Yeah. So, and I'm so fucking proud of you as well, bro.
I'll be 8 months clean. Two weeks.
Oh, I'll be away.
Oh, shock. I swear we say this on every series.
People are going to think I'm loaded.
Hey, what I was going to say to you. Anyone is struggling coming up to Christmas. Yeah, they feel like that they're very alone, that they feel suicidal, or they're drinking and they're drugging and their life's becoming unmanageable. What would you say to them?
Tell them that you can change this. You can change this. A few steps need to be taken, but you need to surround yourself with good company. You need to get away from everybody that's choosing. And that's a hard one, because people don't want to leave their friends. But you need to leave your friends. Like, who's going to look after your kids at the end of the day? Your mates aren't going to go to work for you. It's all well and good. Oh, I've been friends with these people for years. But you're trying to change your life. You're caught up in addiction. You're struggling. You need to surround yourself with people that will bring you up, because your friends don't understand the journey you want to take. You ring up one of the lads, right? And you say to them, oh, do you know what? My head's all over the place, bro. What am I going to do? Oh, well, I've a bag at home. Come on. And that's nothing bad on them. That's just their way. That's just been the way for years. For years and years, drink and drugs were my solution. Until they weren't. You know, and then it became a major problem when responsibility came along. I couldn't cope with the responsibility. And a lot of shit happened in my life. Not in the poor maze or anything. It did. You know, stuff happened in my life that I couldn't deal with. I needed to get away from everybody. And I missed them. I really did. I missed some of the people that I used to hang around with. Because some of them, they were real ones. They really were fucking real friends. But they're drinking and they're using, and I can't put myself in situations where drink and drugs are involved. I'd love to be able to go and meet up with some of them lads and say, let's go out for a walk. But that's just not how it works. I had some amazing times with some of the lads in Cabra, in O'Devany, in Dorset Street, in Dominic Street, Fiora places, Ballymore, Finglas, Sligo, you know, Killooney, Ballymoe. You know,
like your man on the train, all the stops,
yeah,
mind the gap,
all the stops, even on the trains as well. When I was forced coming to Sligo on the trains, I met some amazing people. But I needed to get away from all that. That was trouble for me. Some people in Dublin aren't out using as bad as they were when I was there, and I found that funny, because in active addiction, I blamed it on them because of fucking him. I'm always out, but yeah. Then after
the instigator.
Yeah, after 3-4 months of getting clean, for the first 3-4 months it was his fault. It's his fault, it's their fault. But then I was like, then I remember things like, I used to go over to one of the lads and I used to plan a dance tune and be like, oh, look at that, little tune in the bro, little tune. Mom, we go down the shop. We go down the yacht, he'd tell his board, oh, just gone down the shop with Dean there. We go down and get 2 cans. Standing on the tower having 2 cans, listening to more tunes. The speaker comes out. Then the phone comes out. Then we're 4 or 5 bags deep and my mate's board is walking through the flats and we're standing there thinking, oh, fuck, oh, bollocks, oh, bro, I'm sorry. Oh, she won't know, up onto the tower. Look at you, what the fuck? I thought you weren't going on it. And I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, it was me. And then that's him fighting with his board because of me. And then I'm going into the gaff at 2 in the morning to get something. She thinks we're coming in and she's in the height of it. But then when she hears it going back out, murder. You don't come back near this door.
Pains in my stomach even listening to that, man.
Yeah. That all had to change. I had to learn to love myself. Today I can fucking say that. I love myself today because of who I am today.
Right, guys, we're just going to take a quick break. We'll be back just after the ad.
This season is sponsored by Cloud9 Dogs, the Norway's first doggy daycare centre, located on the Old Dublin Road, Carrow, Sligo. If you're inside a 10k radius, have your dog picked up in the doggy van and dropped home after daycare. Opening hours are 8:30am to 6pm. Get your dog groomed by their groomer that has over 12 years experience in the game. If you're going on holidays, you can also book your dog into the Cloud9 Dogs Hotel, located on the premises, where night staff will be present. Find them on Facebook, Instagram and even TikTok. For all your doggy needs, their website is www.cloud9dogs.com. That's www.cloud9dogs.com. I'm there for people today. I help people today. If someone rings me today, I'll fucking give them the fucking t-shirt on my back if they need it. Because I know what it's like. Needing people or needing help. And all the help was there for me. But I wasn't in a position to take it. You know, it was all there for me. I just couldn't take it. I was just gone. I didn't want it. For people to be wanting it today, I want to be there. This is another big reason why I'm still in recovery, why I'm still clean today. Because I got out of the fire, you know, but now I want to go back in and take people out of the fire. Because it's fucking horrible out there. It's no way of life. If people are dying. People are going to prison. Like, there's some fucked up stories. I have them, you have them, other people have them, of people who didn't make it. People are in life in prison because of one little mistake that happened while they were using. There's so many situations that happened. I mean, my best mate was shot dead, mistaken identity, with his cousin, by two people that probably fucking out of money. They were told to go and shoot these two. They got the wrong car and the wrong people. And that's not the first time something like that has happened. Then people going out on coke or fucking heroin or crack and doing things that they didn't mean to do. They're spending life in prison. Some of them have killed people. Some of them have knocked down people. They have to live with that. I got fucking lucky. I spent 4 weeks in Clover Hill on remand over little stupid charges, robbing wheels and stuff. You know, I'm sorry for that today. But that taught me I wasn't a gangster. That taught me I wasn't the man. I cried my fucking eyes out and shit myself with that door closing on me. Other people in the room and all. Fucking murderers and big time drug dealers and all. Walking out into the yard and walking them down the corridor. I shit myself. I'm no fucking gangster. I'm not the hired man that I think I am. You know, so we stopped robbing. When I got out after 4 weeks, I couldn't stop using. I was lucky I didn't go down too deep into trying to be a gangster. I fucking sniffed a lot of cocaine and ended up with a bill on my head. You know, I'm lucky to be here. I'm lucky to be alive because I fucked up bad. And my mom and my nanny had to save me. You know, I couldn't save myself. Nobody else could save me. People didn't want to be around me. I was getting it, like. And I was blessed. I was told, you're not getting that. And I said, don't fucking want it. No, yeah. I got the fuck out of there. Told my ma, told everyone close to me. So I'm getting out of here.
Did you get down to Sligo?
I was coming back and forth to Sligo.
Why?
I was coming back and forth to Sligo using. And then a fella disappeared for a couple of months. When I come back down to get clothes in Sligo, was walking by this person's house and waved at me. All of a sudden he was back in his gaff and I was like, what the fuck's going on here? I had a bag of clothes, brought me into his gaff, sat me down. Remember I told you the story?
Yes, with the ashtray. Yeah.
And I sat down and this apartment was spotless, and lovely tracksuit on, a fresh haircut, lovely clean runners. And I was like, something wrong here. What's going on? I was in this gaff a few months ago and I was upside down and we were flat to the mat using drugs. Or I'm on your treatment, bro. I'm going to meetings, bro. See that bedroom in there? That's yours, bro. And I was like, what the fuck? We stayed with him for a few months to start going into meetings. And
This the fella you knew from Dublin, was it?
No, this the fella from Sligo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I seen him one day. I was trying to get drugs brought down from Dublin. I seen him one day, said he'll get me drugs. Went out chatting to him, sound, got me drugs, and he came to the gaff with me and we were using. And then I didn't see him for a while and his gaff was empty. And then I was walking by his gaff one day and by chance he was in his gaff. And he told me, oh, I'm at him in a treatment. So I was like, so that's why he wasn't around. Started coming into meetings, I was staying with him for a while. Then
things went on. I had to get out of there. And, you know, I'm thankful to that person that let me stay in his apartment, that told me about the rooms, that told me about recovery, that told me about treatment. I wanted what he had, but for different reasons this time. You know, he had his shit together. Clean tracks, it was apartment, was a clean, and he went into the kitchen from music and he's making food, dancing around. Whereas before, you know, someone was dancing around the kitchen, they'd be fucking doing up lines or something, not cooking food. You know, this was a different kind of happiness. I hadn't seen anyone cooking food and being happy about it for a long, long time. Do you get me? And then I started going to meetings with him, and he had mental issues of his own, and I had to move away from him, and I started living on my own then. I was allowed to stay in a place connected to someone that was in recovery. I was staying in that place for a while, and then I went out there, then I fucking relapsed, and I was out using for 2-3 weeks, and then I got back into recovery, and I met Lydia, and then that was when I really got clean. You know, that was when I was like, right, using doesn't work. You know, it doesn't work.
As much as we thought it did.
Yeah, I thought because I had been away from it for a little while, that was going
to
be great.
See, when you take some time away, you can think to yourself, one more time.
Yeah.
One more time, that'll be enough. That'll do it for me, just one more time.
We know today, that's not us saying that.
It's madness, bro.
That's not us. That's addiction, living in our heads, talking to us in our own voices. A lot of people will laugh at that and think they don't know what they're on about. But a lot of people that are in recovery will be like, yeah, I get that. And they won't flinch when they hear something like that. So for the people that think I'm a lying bastard or something, go and ask someone that's in recovery. We're living with this disease inside us, talking to us, in our heads, doing press-ups, waiting for a chance to pounce at us. I know it sounds weird, but that's how it is. Like, you know, even after 5 years, I haven't thought about using for a while. Touch wood. A few months ago, it was actually 5-6 months ago or something. Remember, I was telling you,
yeah.
I had a little moments where it was like, oh, you know what? I'm fucking sick of this. Throwing it in, I'm hitting that fucking switch. But no matter how long we're clean, that is always going to be there somewhere. You know, we just need to keep working on ourselves.
Right. For anyone listening to this over Christmas, and you're in a fucked up situation, or you're lonely and you're depressed and you're on a come down, I was in your position before. I felt hopeless. I felt alone. I felt suicidal. I felt that there was no other way out. Over this Christmas, if you want to reach out to myself or Dean, yeah, we've been there. We've done that. And we want to show people that there's another way. You know, we do recover. There's another life outside the life that you're living at the moment. And if we can guide you in any way in the right direction, you know, we'd be more than happy to help. And I wish everyone happy Christmas. I wish your family well. I wish you well. I wish your mother well, granny well. I wish every one of your families well.
And the number one thing about this is, people, there's no judgment. You will never get judged by us or our people in recovery, because we've been there and we know exactly what it's like. And the people that do judge other people, they don't mean it. It's just inside us. It's our own insecurities making us judge. I don't believe any person is a horrible person. I believe people that do things that they shouldn't have done are sick people, are people that have stuff going on. Like, you go and find anybody that has done something that they shouldn't have done. Ask them about their past. Ask them about their childhood. Ask them about their family. Something happened.
Yeah. Like, if you actually sit down with someone, yeah, spend a good 5-10 minutes with them and just ask them, you know, how's your day? How was your week? How was your year? As you peel back the layers, there's not one person that's like,
man, I don't know how many times since I came into recovery, I've went and talked to people, asked them 4 or 5 questions, and they've been like, Jesus, I can be really open with you. And they'll always turn around and answer questions that they've never fucking answered before. They've never been asked before. And that is the prime time then to start looking into that. And being around people that really want the best for you.
And don't want anything in return. Which is recovery 101.
Yeah.
So guys, wrap it up.
The kids be waking up in the morning. Happy to see you. Happy to see their mother and father.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Our first Christmas together.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, I'm grateful that you're in my life today.
Oh, I appreciate that, brother. I mean, I see that, and you tell me that, you know, and vice versa. You know, when you come into my life changed. That's fucking big, like, you know, and watching you fucking grow.
Keep saying the word growing now today. 4 foot I am.
Yeah, you had heels on today, didn't you?
Yeah. Guys, we're going to wrap it up there. We wish you all a happy Christmas.
Peace.